Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Dave Williams, and welcome back to Tech Talk, your regular look at technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. And of course, this is your program. We're always delighted to hear from you. Why not drop us a line? The email address, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I'm your host, Dave Williams, and joining us this week are Callum Stoneman and Tasneem Arshad. Hello, Callum. We've got a travel special this week.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. This should be an interesting episode, I think.
Tasneem Arshad, do you travel much?
Yes, I do. Mainly trains locally. Don't really do buses, but do airports as well at times. Really looking forward to hearing and learning more.
Coming up on our Tech Talk Travel Special, we'll be exploring some apps that help you when you're out and about. We'll be speaking with the developer of a new travel app, My Eyes, and we'll be hearing from RNIB's innovation manager, Robin Spinks. That's all coming up on this travel special of Tech Talk. There are so many apps that can assist with local and national and even international travel. I use several apps for checking in with local bus times. But which one do you use? Callum Stoneman, he takes a look now at the Move It app.
When it comes to a route that involves me getting the bus, Move It is always my go-to app for this. Move It is a dedicated public transport navigation app. It's not specifically designed for the blind or visually impaired, but the company behind this have stated several times that they've gone to great lengths to make sure that the app is as accessible and as easy to use as possible for everyone. And I can certainly see that from my experiences of using the app and the features that it has and just how much of a joy it is to use with VoiceOver in my case. So this is a completely free app. And it works cross-platform as well, so you can get this on iOS and Android. If you just go into your App Store or your Google Play Store on your device and just search for Move It, M-O-O-V-I-T, Move It, it's a free app. You can grab that and start using it. So let's have a look at this. I've got my iPhone here. I'm just going to use Siri to open up Move It. Open Move It.
Move It. Button. Search for directions. Button.
Okay, so we're in the main screen of Move It now. And I'm just going to go up to the menu first because there's a few settings in here. I just want to show you how customizable it is. And these are some settings that you might want to play with and have a look at and get set up before you get navigating. So let's just go to the top of the screen to go into menu.
Menu, button, menu, back, button.
Now there's various options in here. I won't go through all of them, but if we just go to settings.
Offline maps, spread the love, radar, settings, button, settings, region, northwest, button.
So you could change your region. Mine already knows my region from my current location, and it knows that I'm in the northwest.
Notifications, journey planner settings. Button.
Journey planner settings, this is what we're interested in. So if we double tap on this.
Route preference, heading.
Yeah, route preference.
Selected, best route, button.
So you can have, this is basically what kind of routes would you prefer it to suggest to you. So you've got best routes.
Least walking.
Least walking.
Button. Fewest transfers.
Fewest button. Transfers.
Transport type preferences. The selected transport types will get higher priority in your suggested routes. Heading.
And then you're on to transport preferences. So what type of transport modes do you want to see? Unchecking any of these won't filter them out entirely. The ones that are unchecked will just get lower priority. So let's see what options we've got here.
Bus. Checked. Button.
Bus is checked. I only really use this for buses. You can use it for trains and other public transport types as well, but I just tend to stick to buses with this. But you've got buses.
Train. Checked. Button.
Train. I have still got that checked though because, you know, why not? It might come in useful sometimes.
Light rail. Unchecked. Button. Ferry. Unchecked. Button. Bike. Unchecked. Button. Electric scooters. Unchecked. Button. Personal preferences. Adjust the routes according to your preferences. Heading.
So they're the options that you can have in terms of transport types. And then this heading now, personal preferences. There's some really nice options in here that if you have maybe just blindness or if you have an additional impairment that restricts your mobility, these may be useful as well. So let's just go in here.
Walk options, maximum walking duration, walking pace.
So walk button. Options, and you can set maximum walking duration and walking pace. So let's have a look at this.
Walking speed, heading.
Walking speed.
Slow walking pace doubles the time for each walking section of your journey. Unchecked. Button.
So if you checked this, if there was any walking segments in your journey, let's say it was 2 minutes, it would take into account your slower walking speed for whatever reason and would double that to 4 minutes. And that won't affect how you get the directions as such, but it will just mean that the calculation of your route is more accurate, you know, the calculation of how long it's going to take. So it's kind of nice that it takes that into account.
Walk duration, heading. Maximum walking duration, set max minutes for each walking section of your journey, button.
And that's pretty self-explanatory. You can set how long you want to walk in any given route. So let's say you had that set for 10 minutes and a route involved a walking segment of like 20 minutes, then I assume it would filter that out and wouldn't show you that. So they're pretty much all the options you've got in route settings. So as you can see, that's incredibly customizable.
Walk options.
And I'm just going to go back to the home screen and just show you how easy it is to plan a route with this and how much of the route you can see in advance. So I'm just going to
journey planner settings.
Just going to keep going back till we get to that home screen.
Settings. Back button. Search for directions. Button menu.
Okay.
Button.
Here we go. So we're back on the home screen. So if I just have a flick through here, we've got a menu button.
Region northwest.
Region button. Again. So we could look at, if we just wanted to look up a line, or a, you know, bus time or train time, we could change the region if we wanted to look at it in another region. But this is just using my current location at the minute. It knows that I'm in the northwest.
Search for directions.
Search button. For directions. So in there we can put in any place or address or bus station, train station, basically anywhere, and it will show us public transport routes to get there. And then the next section is favorites.
Favorites. Head add button. Home. You are close to this location.
Home. You're close to this location. That's right. I'm sat at home right now.
Work 20. Leaves at 22. 19. Duration 67 minutes.
Okay. Actions. So that one. So home and work are just standard labels, and you can just add your home and work addresses in there. So what that's saying is it said work 20, and that means that 20 is the next bus. If I wanted to get to work right now, then 20 is the next bus that I would need to get. It told you the time that it leaves at. I'm recording this quite late on in the evening, so obviously the bus times are going to look pretty different to how they would if I was setting off at 7 in the morning like I normally do for my commute to work. But it tells me when it would leave, when that first bus would leave, the duration of the entire journey as well. So if I double tap on this, this will bring up a bunch of options, and it will also bring up some suggested routes as well. So let's have a look.
From your current location.
So from my location, I could go from somewhere else if I wanted to.
To 125.
That's my work address.
Switch directions.
You could easily swap them over if you wanted to and look at it the other way around.
Depart now.
You can change your departure time, or you can set an arrival time, so a time that you want to arrive by.
More options. Button. Suggested routes.
And here we are. Suggested routes. So normally it gives you three. So three different route options. So let's just have a listen to this.
Route 1, walk 8 minutes, then bus 20, then bus 36, or bus 38, then walk 2 minutes. Total time, 1 hour 7 minutes, leaves at 22, 19 from health centre.
So it's saying route 1, you'd walk 8 minutes, then get the 20, then I think it said walk a couple more minutes, and then you can get either the bus 36 or the whatever else it said. There's a lot of information in one go there, but there is a way to review it in a more simpler form, which I'll show you now. And again, it told you the total duration time as well. So if we double tap on that route, we can then see a step-by-step kind of summary of that route, basically. So if we double tap that.
125. This journey begins at 22, 10 until 23, 18.
Okay, so that tells you the time this journey will begin and end.
Earlier. Button. Later.
You could
button.
View earlier and later times of this exact route if you wanted to.
Leave at 22, 10 from. Heading. Your current location. Button.
So it's saying leave at 22, 10 from my current location.
Walk to, heading, health centre, button.
Walk to the health centre.
245,500.
That's just a kind of oddly labelled thing. There's one or two of those that have kind of bizarre labels, but you just sort of flick past them. They don't tend to get in the way once you get used to them.
0.4 miles, 8 minutes.
So it's button. Telling me that walk is 0.4 miles.
0.4 miles,
yeah, 0.4 miles button. And 8 minutes.
Wait for. Heading, line 20 towards the Trafford Centre, expected arrival time, 22, 19, the next line is expected at 23, 18.
So that's telling me that bus will arrive at 22, 19, and the next line, so the one after that, is at 23, 18.
Show more options, but travel to, heading, Tesco, stop C, button.
And it says travel to Tesco, and then if I flick to the right here.
F29, 33 stops, 21 minutes,
even button. Tells me that it's 33 stops and the number of minutes. And I could keep flicking to the right and it would tell me step by step, basically, that route. But what I'm going to do here, I'm just going to quickly show you a couple more options right down at the bottom of the screen. And just a tip, you don't have to swipe through all of those. You can just do a four-finger tap towards the bottom of the screen to jump you to the very bottom. So I'm just going to do that now.
Share button.
And the button at the very bottom is share. And that's pretty nice because there's been a few times where I've said to someone, oh, I'm getting off at this stop. And it's not made any sense to them. They've not really understood where that stop is based on the name that the app has given me. So you can just easily share a link to the route and they can click on that. They don't have to have the movie app installed on their device. They can just click that link and it will show the route on a map. So that's pretty handy for sighted people who may be assisting you.
Report button. Go button.
Now this is the go button. If we were to press this, it would give us live directions in real time. So the walking directions are not turn by turn navigation. So it doesn't give you sort of, as you're going along, turn left, turn right, I don't believe. Although admittedly, I've not really used this for walking directions much. I've got more than enough apps for walking directions. But where this really stands out is, for a start, when you're at your bus stop or the bus station or whatever, it will give you an alert when your line is approaching. So let's say I was waiting for the line 20, as it's describing there. It would say, when the bus was maybe about a minute away, it would say your line is approaching. Line 20 will be there in 1 minute, for example. And when you are approaching your stop, it will also give you an alert for when you need to get off the bus. In fact, it will give you three alerts. So it gives you an alert when you're two stops away. It will give you a second alert when you're one stop away. And then it will give you a final alert when you arrive at your stop. So that is just brilliant. Because I've found with some of these apps, you know, you could be there and it would give you a quick alert to say you're approaching your stop. But it's just the one alert. And if you miss that alert, then, well, you're a bit stuck. Whereas with this one, you get plenty of warning. Obviously, it does require you to have a decent internet connection and good GPS signal, which is kind of the reason why I've not really tried this on trains. I believe the similar sort of functionality would work on trains, but obviously it just depends on your signal. But in most places, as long as you've got some sort of 3G or 4G connection, that should allow the app to alert you in plenty of time. And that, for me, it just makes a world of difference because my commute to work, for example, is extremely long and there's really no way of telling when you're at the stop, especially the stop outside my work. So to get those alerts, you know, to get the first alert and then be okay, I need to start getting my dog ready. You know, the second alert is when I tend to press the button, to be honest, as well. So yeah, it's a fantastic app for that. So that was just a really quick overview of customizing the settings, navigating the app, and planning a route. There are so many more features of this that I really don't have time to cover here, but just a couple I'll quickly mention. You can bookmark favorite stops as well, or favorite stations. So you can just go to, on that main home screen there where we had all the favorites and the search for directions and all that, there are some tabs at the bottom. So you've got directions, which is kind of your default. You have stations, which is your favorite stops, and lines, which is where you can just bookmark your regular journey lines or bus numbers, not necessarily from a particular stop, but you can bookmark them from a particular direction. So I can just go on there and check, without particularly planning a route, I can just go on there and check when that line will be approaching. So you can easily just look at the bus times. And then in the lines section as well, there is also just a search for a line. So you can just type in a number there. So say someone says, oh, we need to get this particular bus. You can just jump in to move it, click on the lines tab, click on the search button, type in that number, and you will be able to see what times it's arriving. And by default, you can view all the stops on the bus journey, but by default, it will go to your nearest stop for that line as well. I definitely really highly recommend Move It, download it, give it a go, and I hope it gives you more confidence and freedom to navigate public transport independently.
Callum, so when you're using Move It, is it just that it's using timetable information, or do you actually get, you know, dynamic updates? What happens when things change?
A bit of both, really. So if you're planning in advance, it will use the data based on, you know, the timetables that it has. But then depending on the bus, really, and the specific service, if it's got like a GPS service on board the bus, I guess, then it will give you dynamic updates as well. So if you're waiting for a particular line and you favorited a line, and it's, you know, it's delayed, then it will give you an alert and say there's been some disruption, and you can expect a 3 or 4 minute delay. So yeah, it uses it does update pretty quick, and it updates, you know, in real time.
Fantastic. Tasneem, what else do we want to know?
What happens if you're stood at multiple bus stands?
Well, that kind of depends. So it does sometimes tell you what stand your bus is going to be at. So if I go to Bolton Interchange, for example, which is the local kind of big bus station near me, and sometimes it will say, you know, your bus is arriving at stand T or stand Y, and then other times it will just say your bus is arriving at Bolton Interchange. So I think, again, maybe that depends on the data that it's getting from that specific service. So it's a bit hit and miss, but it does tell you.
Yeah, and that's really still very useful information, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I wonder how it operates maybe with trains as well. That would be really interesting to know about. And we can have a chat about passenger assist and how that works as well.
Yeah, I mean, as I said in the review there, this does work on trains. I haven't really played with it much, but I think it would do the similar thing, you know, alerts tell you what platform your train is on. I'm not certain of that, but I don't see why it wouldn't.
Thank you very much. And we will be looking at the Passenger Assist app for those of us who might need a little bit of extra help while travelling later on. Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman, thank you very much. Robin Spinks is the Senior Innovation Manager at RNIB, and Robin is no stranger to travel, not just in the UK, but around the world. Well, I just about managed to catch up with Robin at London King's Cross. King's Cross, of course, home to the Eurostar terminal as well, so you know, obviously we've got the tube here, we've got national rail services and international rail services. Robin, you're somebody who's travelled quite extensively, and I'm sure many of those journeys have started here. Why don't you just share with us some of the places you've visited?
That's right, Dave. I mean, so for probably 20 years now, I have travelled around the UK and Europe and America, and also spent a spell working in Africa and South Asia and the Caribbean. So I've been all over the place. So many journeys have started at King's Cross. And I live in Scotland, so, you know, I'm regularly going up and down the East Coast Mainline. I never tire of it, I have to say. I do enjoy travelling, whether I'm kind of working or resting or just listening to music or podcasts. I love the East Coast Mainline, and I think this is just a great place to be.
So this is Tech Talk, and you won't mind me saying that you yourself are visually impaired.
That's right.
Share with us some of the technology that you use to facilitate your access to travel.
Well, for travelling, the smartphone is the Swiss Army knife for me. So, you know, on a daily basis today, I've been using the Stagecoach app, I've been using Train Times, I've been using Google Maps, Apple Maps. Lots of applications. I also use things like the magnifier that's built into the iPhone. So many people will know that there's a video magnifier built into the operating system of the iPhone. So in my case, I can triple click the button and my phone turns into a video magnifier. So if I pull out one of these cream and orange cardboard tickets, of course they're still around. I wish they weren't, but if I pull one of those out of my pocket, it's got lots of tiny print on it. Now I can't read that. I'm a top letter guy. I can see the top letter on the chart. I'm told there are others, but I can't read the print that's on those tickets. So I have to use the video magnifier function on my iPhone. I use it, I would say, 20 times a day. I used to have a hand lens or a small portable video magnifier, but why would you want one of those when it's baked into your phone? So technology to me is just a tremendous liberator. And if I leave home without it, watch out, because it just feels very disabling not having it with me.
You're a top letter guy. I need to be told that I'm in the room with an eye chart. I've been with you when you've used that video magnifier to access signage, display screens, dare I say it, train numbers.
Absolutely, I have. I mean, I think the possibilities are endless. You know, just having a high quality camera experience paired to a video magnifier on the phone just opens up so many possibilities. You know, I used to use a monocular. I've still got it in my bag. It's like a little short stubby telescope. I used to use that to read the departure boards and train stations, because I always tell people that the orange on black departure boards and train stations, they're not actually designed for humans. They're designed, in fact, for giraffes. That's why they're up at giraffe height. So, you know, when you walk up to them, you actually can't see them. So I used to use this little monocular to read them. Now, of course, I've got the board and all the train times and all the information that I need right at my fingertips on my phone. Sometimes I'm even using an assistant. So on my Google phone, I'm using the Google Assistant to get that information. And it's just about simplicity. The more that we can use things that simplify the experience, help us to feel more equitable, have a more equitable experience, that's what it's all about. And I think we're really only scratching the surface with what we can do right now. I mean, imagine if you could navigate through the station with on-screen arrows and verbal prompts telling you to move left and right, to orientate against the clock face. The possibilities are enormous, so it's a super exciting space to work in, I think. And I can't wait to see what's coming next. You know, I'm constantly looking at new technologies.
So guide us through some of the emerging technologies that are potentially going to impact access to travel for blind and partially sighted people.
Well, we're looking at essentially four different things right now. So one is kind of bi-directional codes or BIDI codes. People might have come across NaviLens. We're trialing that in a number of environments to see what people think of it. We're also looking at LiDAR, which is light detection and ranging. So LiDAR is a new technology. Waymap and Goodmap, so the two companies that people may have heard of. And really what that's doing is it's using a very precise millimeter by millimeter map of the location that you're in and indexing your position according to that map. So that holds a lot of possibility. We're really keen to see how that experience is, to hear from people, find out what they think of it. But we're also, of course, we've had beacons for quite a long time now, and we're also looking at what's the role of beacons. Are there environments where they could be helpful, or they might even be preferable?
So when you say beacons, that's Bluetooth technology.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah. So, you know, the premise here is that there is no such thing as a one-fits-all solution. It's about finding the solution that works best for the person, but also what works best for the environment. You know, in a retail context, is one solution preferable over another? In a travel and transport context, maybe where you've got safety-critical intersections like platform drops and edges and so on. You know, we need to think about these things when we're trying out all of these tools, because that's an absolute must. It has to work, it has to be safety critical. And we're also finally looking at the impact and the helpfulness of human support through services like Aira, for example. So this is where an individual will, through an app, they will connect with you and they will utilize, with your permission, the rear camera on your phone to give you either navigation information or to read things to you. Just essentially imagining what would a remote pair of eyes be able to do in terms of assistance. So what we want to do is look at all of those different approaches. There isn't one that's a winner. They've all got great strengths and weaknesses in different settings, different environments. We want to look at all of that and essentially to kind of have a moving analysis of that whole landscape, so that as new technologies come along, we're seeing a lot of AI, for example, appearing that's got really a lot of promise in things like scene detection, where you're using computer vision to tell a person what's in a room. People might have heard of the new features in iOS, for example, where it's able to detect doors and entrances. All of those technologies really play into one central challenge, the mobility challenge. We're also about to start working on a smart cane project, which I think crosses all of that with wearable technology and looks at the impact and the helpfulness of a next generation smart cane. So there's no one solution that's perfect for everyone. And also this is constantly moving and developing. What seemed like a great thing today might be superseded by what's about to arrive tomorrow. And I think our role is to be platform agnostic, to be about rooted in helpfulness, and to, above all else, be about the person, the blind or partially sighted person. How do they experience it? What would make it easier? What would make it more perceivable, operable, understandable, robust? And what can we do to push it forward? So we're doing it in collaboration with blind and partially sighted people and with tech companies, and we would really love to hear from listeners about their experiences. We'd love to hear about your experiences with any of those technologies. What did you think? How did it feel to you to use that system? Have you come across something else that we haven't covered? Get in touch with us.
Thanks again to Robin Spinks for taking time out of his busy schedule to speak with us here at RNIB Tech Talk. Still to come, we'll be hearing about the new My Eyes app. Also, passenger assist if you need to get help when you are travelling on the trains. We'll be looking at that here very shortly. So, Tasneem, is there anywhere on your bucket list a destination that you've always dreamed of visiting?
Plenty, Dave. I would like to do a lot more travelling. I've been to Bulgaria and I've been to various places when I did geography at college, that sort of thing. But yeah, I want to do a lot more globetrotting. So Australia is definitely on my list. So that's somewhere I'm very interested in, and hopefully we'll get to go at some point.
Well, let's hope that some of the technology that we're featuring this week will encourage you to get out and about and maybe travel a little bit more. Callum Stoneman, Tasneem Arshad, you're with RNIB Tech Talk. Mobility is a huge challenge for many people who are blind or partially sighted. Maybe you're a guide dog user and you feel quite confident. Maybe you're a long cane user and you feel quite confident. Or maybe you're sat at home thinking, quite honestly, all these people, they've got it sussed. You know, they're out there, they're using this technology, and they are confident travellers. Well, it's easier than you think. And one app that may be useful is the Passenger Assist app. So Callum Stoneman's here now to show us how it works.
I'm back again, this time demonstrating another app, the Passenger Assistance app, which you can use to book assistance on any train journeys. Now, this one is a UK-only app, so just to bear that in mind, this only works in the UK. Other countries may have similar sort of thing for their rail transport, but I don't really know of that. But this one that I'm demonstrating here is just the UK only. So this one is another free app, and it's also cross-platform. So you just go to your App Store or your Google Play Store and search for Passenger Assistance, and you should find it. All you do is just go in there, create an account, create a profile, which details the type of assistance you're going to need. And then you can just book your journey. You select your departure time, your return journey if you want to, what assistance you require, and then just confirm it all, and that's it. It's all booked for you. So I'm just going to open the app now and show you what we've got. Open Passenger Assistance.
Passenger Assistance. New journey. Heading.
So straight away you get a new journey section. Now I've already created an account and logged in, but when you first get this, it will prompt you to create an account. And before we book a journey, I'm going to go to the profile tab. So there's three tabs at the bottom of the screen. We've got
selected, new journey, tab 1 of 3.
New journey.
My journeys, tab 2 of 3.
My journeys, so you can review any upcoming journeys or past journeys that you've taken in there and that you've booked assistance for.
My profile, tab 3 of 3.
My profile. Now this is where we want to go first, so I'll double tap this.
Selected, my profile, tab 3 of 3.
I'm just going to jump back to the top of the screen, and there's various bits of info here. And this is basically just providing details of who you are. So, for example, your name and your contact details if the assistance teams need to get in touch with you. And also what impairments you've got and that they need to be aware of. So let's just have a look at mine.
My profile, heading, log out, button.
You can log out there if you want to.
Name, Mr. Callum Stoneman.
Yep.
Email, callum.stoneman.
That's my email.
Contact number, 078.
Contact number.
Access consideration foldable, button.
Now, I don't know why these read as foldable, but it basically means that you can collapse or expand these sections. Foldable is a bit of a new one. I've never heard them described as that before, but I guess it's sort of accurate. So access considerations. Let's see what I've put in here.
Accompanied by guide dog.
Accompanied by a guide dog.
Visual impairment.
And visually impaired.
Color theme, default.
You can change your color theme for the app.
Data tracking, off.
Data tracking.
Change theme, button.
So another option there to change the theme.
Edit profile, button.
Edit profile. So let's go on here and we can just see all the different impairments and assistance types that we've got.
Profile image button.
You can attach an image if you want to, if that helps the assistance teams recognize you.
Email, Callum, title, option, title is Mr. Text field, clear type, first name is Callum, text field.
So you've got your usual things there, first name, last name, email address, all that. I'm just going to quickly flick past these.
Clear, last name, last, clear, last, contact number, show, contact number is clear, access considerations. Mobility impairment foldable button.
So mobility impairment foldable, and it doesn't tell you whether it's collapsed or expanded. Last time I went onto this, it was expanded by default. So let's see what we've got in here.
Show mobility impairment tooltip button. Wheelchair user manual within max dimensions unselected. Wheelchair user powered within max dimensions unselected. Other mobility aid user unselected. Other mobility impairment unselected. Scooter user within max dimensions unselected. Sensory impairment foldable button.
And then the next section is sensory impairment.
Visual impairment, selected. Speech impairment, unselected. Hard of hearing slash deaf, unselected. Accompanied by guide dog, selected. Non-visible impairment, foldable, button.
Non-visible impairment.
Show non-visible impairment. Dyslexia, unselected. Autism, unselected. Dementia, unselected.
These are all the options that you can select. There's a whole range of them. And all the ones that say foldable, so for example, mobility impairment, isn't relevant to me. So you could just double tap on this heading where it says mobility impairment foldable. It would collapse those and the heading would still be there, but all those options would disappear. So if you wanted to kind of speed it up going through that, you could do it that way. So that's just a quick look at how customizable your profile is, and you can tell them as much or as little information as you want, because all of this is optional. Although I assume it would make you select at least one type of impairment so they know kind of what they're going to need to help you with. So I'm just going to go out of that. I don't need to make any changes here.
My profile, back button. My profile, heading.
So if I go back to the journey section, I'm just going to show you how easy it is to create a new journey.
New journey, tab, one of three. Selected, new journey, tab, new journey, heading.
So we've got new journey, heading.
Change theme, hello, Callum. Where would you like to go?
So it's asking me where I want to go.
Show rail stations info.
That's just a button to give you some info about the rail stations. It basically just confirms that it's a UK app. So I've got a work trip coming up from Bolton, and I'm going to be traveling to Birmingham International. So let's book that assistance now.
From departure station button.
So from departure station, we'll double tap this.
Please note, our application only communicates with UK rail companies, and therefore only rail stations can be selected in the drop-down menus.
Yeah.
Enter station. Search field.
Now Bolton should be my recents.
Recents. Birmingham International, Bolton Bonn button.
Oh, they're both there. Okay.
Selected from Bolton button.
So I double tapped on Bolton. It's put Bolton as my from station.
Delete departure station button. Switch destinations button to arrival station button.
To arrival station, double tap.
Please note, our application. Enter station. Search field.
Now we already know that Birmingham International is in my recents from testing this earlier, but you could type in that search field and start typing. So I could, you know, start typing BIRM, for example, and then feel above the keyboard, and there should be the options there for the various Birmingham stations or anything else beginning with those letters. But we'll just speed things up. We'll just tap it from the recents.
Recents. Bolton Bonn. Birmingham International BHI button. Selected.
Double tap.
To Birmingham International button.
And now you can select your journey specifics.
Delete arrival station via slash avoid button.
So if you wanted to go via a specific station or avoid a specific station, you can select it here.
One way. Selected. Button. Return, unselected, button.
One way or return, I need to return.
Return, selected. Outbound, leave after, today, now, button.
So outbound,
insertion,
I'm going to change this.
Today, pick your item.
This needs to be the 9th of June. So I double tapped on outbound and now I've got three adjustable values. So I've got the day, the hour and the minute. So it's already put me on the day one, which is set to today currently. So I'm just going to flick up with one finger to change this.
Set, 4 June, sun, mon. Tuesday, 7 June. Wed, 8 June.
8th of June, sorry. 8th of June is when I'm leaving. So that's set to 8th of June. If I flick to the right.
11 o'clock. Selected. Pick your item.
Me to
adjustable.
Select
11
the hour.
Of 20, 12 o'clock. 13, 14 o'clock. 14 of 24. Selected.
2 o'clock.
37 minutes. Selected. Pick your item.
Adjustable. Now I want to leave at about 2 o'clock, 60. So I'm just going to change this. I'm going to go up here and just change this to 0.
0 minutes. 1 of 60. Selected.
1400 hours.
14 o'clock. Wed, 8 June. Pick arrive. Arrive by. Unselected. Button. Leave after. Selected.
You could do arrive by if you wanted to, rather than leave after. Rather than saying a time you want to leave, you could say a time that you want to arrive. So I'm just going to flick over here and select that.
Done. Button.
That bit's done.
Outbound. Leave after. Weather 8 June. 14. BST. Button.
And now it's going to ask me to select my return time.
Return, leave after, weather 8 June, 16 BST. Button.
That's not right.
Insertion point at end.
That to be the next day.
Where, 8 June, pick your item, adjustable.
So same thing, I've double tapped on that. It's brought me to the day and time selection. So do a flick up to get to Thursday.
Thursday, 9 June, 16 o'clock, 0 minutes, selected. Pick
it's already said 1600 hours, which is right.
Arrive, but leave after, done, button. Return, leave after, Thursday, 09 June, 16 BST. Button, connection time, none. Fine trains, button.
And then we've got fine trains.
Fine train from Bolton to Birmingham International, heading. From Bolton to Birmingham International, departing from Bolton at 14:54 BST, arriving at Birmingham International at 17:13 BST, journey duration, 2 hours 19 minutes, one change, button.
So that's telling us the time that it's departing Bolton, the time that it will arrive at Birmingham, and the total journey duration and how many changes. So that's one change and departing at 14:54 and arriving at, I think it's at 5:15. So that sounds about right. So if I double tap that.
From Bolton to Birmingham International, heading.
It'll give us a bit more detail about this journey. So if we flick to the right.
Wed 8 June 2022, heading. Departing from Bolton at 14:54 BST, arriving at Birmingham International at 17:13 BST, 14:54, Bolton. 15:15, Manchester Piccadilly. Journey leg, train service. Leg duration, 21 minutes.
So it's saying that first bit is 21 minutes.
12 minutes, change at Manchester Piccadilly.
Then I've got to wait for 12 minutes at Manchester to change.
15:27, Manchester Piccadilly. 17:13, BHI, Birmingham International. Journey leg, train service. Leg duration, 1 hour, 46 minutes. Expand calling stations, button.
So you could see all the calling stations as well if you wanted to.
Select train, button. View station facilities, button. Cancel, button.
And then you can select that train, you can view the station's facilities, or you can cancel and go back. So I'm just going to select train.
View, select train, button. Select from Birmingham International to Bolton, heading.
And now, straight away, it's asking me to now select my return journey.
Show earlier, button. Thursday, 9 June 20, departing from Birmingham International at 16:38 BST, arriving at Bolton at 19:20 BST, journey duration, 2 hours 42 minutes, one change, button.
Similar sort of thing, so we can double tap that.
From Birmingham International to Bolton, heading.
Now, just to speed things up, I'm not going to flick through how this journey looks because we've already seen sort of how that works in the app. So I'm just going to jump to the bottom of the screen.
Cancel. Button. View station facilities. Select train. Button.
Select train.
Select. Use of ramp. Unselected.
And now it's asking, as well as our profile, what other notes we want to put in here. So let's see what we've got.
Journey assistance. Heading.
Journey assistance. So we've got.
Use of ramp. Unselected.
Use of ramp.
Room for assistance dog, unselected.
Ah, room for assistance dog. I do want that, so I'll double tap that.
Room for assistance dog, selected. Seat transfer, unselected.
Seat transfer.
Use of station buggy, if available, unselected. Use of station wheelchair, if available, unselected. Help pushing wheelchair, unselected. Help with luggage, unselected.
Oh yeah, I'll need that as well.
Help with luggage, selected. Request wheelchair space, unselect. Request priority seat, unselected. Reserve companion seat, unselected. Button. Decrease the number of, increase the number of, zero companions.
So you could reserve a companion seat as well.
Other info, optional. Number of characters, 0 out of 500. Please add any additional information here such as ticket reservation info, class, coach and seat, any requests for seats and wheelchair reservations not guaranteed, scooter sizes, or any other assistance requests. Text field.
And then there's a text field here, so you've got a 500 character limit, but you can add your own notes or your own assistance here as well.
Save button.
Click save.
Outbound. Journey assistant. Confirm journey. Heading.
And then we've just got a confirm journey, so we can review all of this.
Outbound.
So if we go up to the bottom of this screen.
Cancel. Button. Confirm details. Button. Double click to edit journey assistant. Confirm details. Button. Cancel. Button.
Now, I'm not going to do this right now, but if I was to double click confirm details, that would be it. That would just send me an email. It would send me an email saying that it's been provisionally booked. And then usually what happens in my case is that a couple of hours later, I will then get a follow-up email saying your assistance is definitely booked. And I've never had an occasion where for some reason they've not been able to book it or reserve it. I assume if there was some sort of problem or they couldn't accommodate, or if, you know, I'd not booked far in advance, because it does recommend that you book in advance, which I obviously have done now, but I assume if there was some sort of problem they would email me or call me using those contact details on the profile. But usually you get a provisional booking first, well, a short time later you should get the proper confirmation email, and then that's it. And that's all there is to it. That's how you book your assistance. You can make any changes there using the My Journeys tab. So you could make any edits, you could cancel it. And that's how you do that in the app without having to call up and wait around on hold on the phone. You can just do it yourself. There you go. That's the Passenger Assistance app.
Callum Stoneman there with his demonstration of the Passenger Assist app.
What's special about using the Passenger Assist app for you, Callum?
I think for me, you can still call up. You know, you can still absolutely, if you prefer just a good old phone call, you can ring your National Rail or you can ring your train operator. But I think for me, I just find it a lot quicker, you know, being able to go in there on the app, put in where I'm going from, put in my destination, find the train time, and just click confirm, and then it's all done, it's all booked. And I just find that a bit easier than waiting around on hold for a few minutes and then waiting to get put through to someone, speaking to them, describing what assistance I need. And if you need to make any changes as well, you know, if suddenly I'm running late for something or I can no longer do that journey, then you just sort of click onto the app and go into the My Journeys tab and you can just make any changes there, you can cancel it. It just feels a bit quicker. It feels like it's giving me that little bit more independence arranging my own travel.
Yeah, I totally get that. I personally have always booked it by telephone and it's fairly prompt for me as well. And I like the ability to be able to just pick up the phone and get that sorted. But yeah, I totally see the advantages of the app actually, but it's wonderful that people can still have the choice of calling, especially if you don't have a smartphone or you're not familiar with using the apps. So I do think it's really good that the traditional facility of phone calls is still available.
And long may that continue. Tasneem, do you just find it that bit more reassuring speaking with a human?
Yeah, I think it's just something that I've always done. I think just booking it all by telephone, and I just haven't moved into the era of apps yet, but I think it's a work in progress, but I do like the flexibility of being able to do that.
In common with many of the other presenters here on RNIB Connect Radio, myself, Callum and Tasneem, we are all in fact registered blind. And I think it would be useful perhaps to have a discussion about travel from our perspective and maybe share some tips. Tasneem, you've got a trip coming up.
I have, yes. So next weekend, I'm off to Bristol. I've never been there before. I'm meeting some friends and we're all going to be staying in a lovely hotel. So it'd be really helpful to know what is it that I need to know about that I would find helpful in maybe locating my room, anything else that I need to know about that would be really helpful when I'm, well, anybody with sight loss is in an alien hotel environment.
Sure. Well, hopefully you won't be staying with aliens. We have travelled quite a bit, I think. Well, I certainly have. And what I find is really useful, actually, is being clear about the route, you know, from the entrance of the hotel to your room. Because obviously there may be times when you want to go back there by yourself, or maybe you've agreed to meet in the lobby at a certain time. You know, and often hotels, they will come and pick you up from your room if you really need that. And you shouldn't be shy about asking for that if that's the support that you need. Personally, I quite like to be able to do that myself. But obviously, when you get to your corridor, if the rooms are not marked in some tactile way with tactile print or braille even, then it is sometimes helpful just to leave a little tactile indicator yourself, maybe tie something around the door handle, a little elastic band or something like that. You can of course use something a little bit more high tech like the Be My Eyes app, which is the volunteer powered service. I'm sure a volunteer on Be My Eyes would be happy to shout out some hotel room numbers to get you to your door. You know, the other thing about hotels is, of course, the room key. Very often keys are simply flat plastic cards. Sometimes they have a notch in the end. So you really want some way of perhaps marking that so you can feel exactly which way round the key needs to go in the lock. Because you can be pretty sure that if you don't, it'll be the last way round that you try it, you know, up, down, reverse, whichever. I always find it's like after about four attempts, I get in. So having some sort of little tactile mark, whether the key already has a notch or you know, whether you can store it in a certain way in your pocket or purse so you know exactly which way around it goes around, then that's going to increase the chances of it working first time. Callum, have you stayed in many hotels?
I have, yeah. I had quite a successful experience last year, actually. It was kind of my first time really staying in a hotel, and it was semi-independent, I guess. There were some work colleagues there, and some of them I'd only met recently, but they were still happy to assist me and help me out. But what I found worked really well for me was just paying attention to, as you said, the route. Because for me, I'm a guide dog owner, so I needed to pop out last thing at night and first thing in the morning and spend the dog. To be fair, she did really well with showing me out of the room and sort of to find the lift, and she did, and then she found the door, the exit. I think I just got lucky at that point, though, to be honest. I ended up with a very easy route. Do you find it's useful as well, Dave, to like know how the phone in your room works? Because usually there's these little phones on your bedside, and sometimes they've got a shortcut there to get to, you know, to easily ring reception or ring room service or whatever. Do you find it's good to get someone to show you how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tasneem, when you check into your hotel, somebody, I'm sure, will show you to your room, and you may want to ask that person to describe what the buttons on the phone do. You know, you don't necessarily need to know every single last button, but you at least want the button for the front desk, you know, so that you can call the front desk and then you can ask for whatever support, you know, room service or anything else that you may need. So being confident about that is helpful. The other thing about hotel rooms is they're full of print information. You know, there's signage on the back of the door, there might be a menu, there might be information about local attractions, and often that information is in tiny print. And again, you know, it's probably not reasonable to have somebody in the moment read every single word of that out to you. But if you've got any tools that can help with accessing the written word, whether that is an app like, say, Seeing AI or, you know, one of those kind of optical character recognition apps, then that can certainly come in handy. Or if you're somebody that uses, you know, a magnifier, be sure to take that with you, because there is a lot of written information in hotel rooms. So how are you getting there, Taz? Are you going on the train or are you flying?
Yeah, I'm not flying to Bristol. I'm definitely getting the train, and I'll be doing the good old-fashioned booking the assistance by telephone. But all of those tips are brilliant, and I will let you know how I get on. The hotel does know that we're coming, because there's several of us that are going, and they've been really good offering assistance where we need it and to use the different facilities like the gym and the pool and that sort of thing. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
And with your tickets, how are you purchasing those?
I usually buy them on the day. I don't normally do any advance bookings. I have done occasionally, but these days it's just buying them on the day.
Right. Well, it's worth looking at that, because you can often save yourself quite a lot of money by booking in advance. Certainly with rail travel, the further ahead you can book, often the more money you're likely to save. Certainly when it comes to flights, prices vary quite a lot, and there are price comparison websites and various apps that I've used in the past to compare ticket prices. Sometimes just working with a travel agent actually can be the easiest option. And like with train travel, when you fly, you know, it's worth letting the company know that you're going to require assistance. Usually you need to let the airline know if you need assistance. And so when you arrive at the airport, you go to the check-in desk, they're aware that you need assistance. So somebody will come and meet you. They'll take you through security. They'll take you to your gate to enable you to board your flight. And then at the other end, in theory, at least, he says, touch wood, somebody should come and meet you and take you through, you know, passport control or whatever it is, depending on where you have travelled to. Have you done any flying, Callum?
Yeah, I haven't. And that's something that's a bit of an interesting one for me, because, you know, traveling locally around the UK, you know, trains, buses, staying in hotels, you know, not a problem. I'm pretty confident with that. But I don't know, long haul travel, you know, flying on my own, especially, you know, flying abroad, where I think something that worries me a bit is, you know, one, obviously the assistance, and two, if you're going to another country, especially, you know, maybe a bit of a language barrier. I don't know. That's something that I've never really been confident to do. I've not really needed to try it out, but I think that would be one that I'd be a lot more nervous about, I think, personally. I'm sure people have had good experiences with it, But yeah, it worries me a little bit, that one.
So in 2022, technology again can be helpful, particularly when it comes to those language barriers. I recently visited France and I needed to speak with somebody in French, and I was able to get Siri to translate for me, so I could say in French, you know, and then whatever the words were that I wanted to be translated, and then Siri would repeat that back using a French voice in a French accent. I was able to successfully communicate with somebody in that way, because obviously as blind and partially sighted people, we don't have the luxury of being able to kind of point at things, you know, and explain something perhaps using visual language. So being able to have your phone do that verbal translation is hugely empowering, actually.
That's amazing, actually. I'd never thought of that.
Yeah. Also, I totally understand, Callum, about you saying the language barrier, because I have actually travelled on my own to one of the countries in the Far East. And because I speak the language, it made the journey, the travel, absolutely fine for me. And my family met me at the other end, but the actual flight journey was on my own on this occasion. But what if I was going to, say, a different country that I didn't speak the language, then I would be equally quite nervous about that as well.
We're really keen to hear about ways in which you use technology to support your travel experiences. Do share those stories. The email address, as always, it's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Tasneem Arshad and Callum Stoneman, thanks again. Hello, you are listening to RNIB Tech Talk with me, Dave Williams, and joining me on the line is Miguel Matias. A very warm welcome to you, Miguel. Now, you are the chief executive of Self Energy, a UK company who are the distributor of the My Eyes app. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, this app is enabling visually impaired people to navigate through cities and through indoor areas like museums, shopping centers, train stations. The app, in a way, is a kind of a solution that will speak to you when you are walking through the city. So it's not exactly something you have to operate. You just have to turn it on and listening what the city has to tell you about, what the museum have to say to you in each GPS location. So every site may have like some information and saying, okay, I am in this monument, or I am in this bank. And so when this app crosses that specific location, it will give that information to the owner. Whenever you are inside a building, in that case, because you don't have GPS, you can use like Bluetooth signals called beacons. So it's small technology, completely inoffensive in a way, without having to be connected to any Wi-Fi or to any IT or even to the electric system. It works with batteries. And you can walk along the stations, walk along the museums, and again, in each piece of content that the museum wants you to know about, it will speak to you and it will tell you about what's going on around you.
You will, of course, be aware that navigation apps, that there are lots of them, aren't there? It's a very crowded space, and they, you know, many of them use different technologies and offer, you know, different sets of features. What do you think makes yours kind of unique? What are the sort of the unique selling points of your My Eyes app?
I would say the first one will be to have a seamless utilization of the app, usage of the app inside and outside. So there are a lot of apps that are completely focused on inside kind of spaces, but then they can't be used outside. And the opposite is also true. A second feature is it uses very advanced artificial intelligence algorithms with the text-to-speech algorithms that, in fact, gives a kind of a easy to install as well and easy to set up solution. So you just change all the content in your own desktop, and automatically somewhere in the world, someone will have that translated in his own language and at his own text-to-speech algorithm. Also, it can interact very well with other solutions that are out there.
It sounds really exciting, and I think you've really hit on something when you say, you know, having a navigation app that works outside and uses GPS, and then when you go into somewhere that has those Bluetooth beacons, you know, it seamlessly kind of integrates that information as well. And I guess that's the holy grail in many respects of navigation, having that seamless indoor and outdoor experience. You've been testing the app with blind and partially sighted people in Scotland. Talk us through that and the kind of feedback you've been receiving.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey, to be honest, what's going on. So we have done already two major tests with the focus groups with different people. With both focus groups and both tests, we learned a lot. And I learned personally a lot also about the different levels of visual impairments that you may have and how you can handle that in potential different ways. They gave us very important feedback for new features on the app that maybe will not be available just now, but will be on our backlog to be developed straightforward. And also they have, for us, the most important things was like one of the feedbacks, people saying, look, I've crossed Dundee several times, even in my youth for several years, and I didn't know there was a monument here. I didn't know there was this church here. I've crossed this street so many times, and right now I can't understand a little bit more the town that I've been with. And that is the fabulous feedback for us.
Which platforms can people expect to find the My Eyes app?
Well, it's fully available already in the App Store, so it's for Apple phones, iPhones. Since iPhone 6 still works, already works, of course it works a little bit better in the older versions, but also with Androids.
Okay, well, we'll watch this space with great interest, McGill. Really appreciate you giving up so much of your time to speak with us.
Thank you very much.
My Eyes there, not to be confused, of course, with Be My Eyes. That's it from us here on our Tech Talk Travel Special. We do hope that you will stay in touch. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Callum Stoneman, Tasneem Arshad, safe travels to you both.
Thank you, and happy travels to you all.
Thank you. Travel safely.
Next time, we will be speaking with Richard Orme of the DAISY Consortium. We'll also be investigating a very clever way that you can figure out when you are in shot for those video meetings. And Tasneem will be taking a listen to and a talk with Sharky in Jaws. That's all coming up next time here on Tech Talk. I'm Dave Williams, and until next time, bye for now.